This week on Barbell Shrug, we recap the 2014 CrossFit Games Open and tell you how you should train now.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrug. For the video version, go to barbellshrug.com.
All right. Are we ready, CTP?
You know it, baby.
Welcome to Barbell Shrug. I'm Mike Bletzer here with Doug Larson and Chris Moore.
Woo!
With CTP behind the camera, of course. All right. You asked for it. We're delivering. We're talking about the CrossFit Open. It just ended. People submitted their last scores on Monday, so 2 days ago. A lot of hearts were broken.
Dreams crushed.
Some people's dreams were crushed. Some people's dreams were made. And we're gonna do like a recap, a summary of how the Open went, compare it to previous years, and talk about how you might want to change your training after the Open, because what you were doing during the Open is probably should look a lot different right after, before and after, during. Yeah, you know what I mean.
One of those words.
Yeah.
Yeah, if your dream got crushed, let's uncrush it and rebuild it better.
So did you guys see the leaderboard yet? How'd everybody do? I'm just pulling it up over here. I haven't looked at it yet.
How did everybody do, Doug?
Pretty good.
I saw Michelle Kenny got fifth.
Yeah.
Good friend Michelle Kenny crushed it.
In the world?
Yeah. She fucking killed it.
Here's the thing is a lot of people say, hey, because the Open looks extremely different than the games, people go, well, what happens in the Open is not indicative of who's going to do well at the games. But at the same time,
Rich Froning won and Jace like second and Michelle's right up there. I don't think that's true.
That does happen quite a bit. So the top people in the Open definitely do really well at the games. But, you know, if you look at the spread, just because you do good in the Open does not mean you're going to do really well at regionals. So
the people who do good but don't like sort of blow their load during it, and the people who do really good in it but have nothing left for the actual competitions, I guess that's a big difference.
I mean, well, in previous years, and it's not as true this year, in previous years, you didn't have to be very strong in order to do well in the Open. There might have been one WOD that would you might not place as well in if you weren't as strong, but overall you'd do better. This year, there was a little more skill involved. Highly fatigued muscle-ups were introduced. You know, they introduced muscle-ups in a fatigue state before, but this year people were a lot more fatigued by the time they got there. Mm-hmm. The weights on the deadlifts got very heavy.
I thought that was genius the way they put that together with the deadlift box jump WOD.
Yeah.
Where they made it where it was light at first, but made it where everyone could do it because it was light at first, but got heavy enough where really still the strongest athletes were the ones that were going to win.
Yeah.
The people that were more likely to go to regionals are pretty much the stronger athletes. And so it made the people that are going to go to regionals, since you were just saying that regionals is a little bit heavier, games is a little bit heavier, and whoever does well in the Open doesn't necessarily do well at regionals because they're not quite the same competition. They're a little bit different. I think scheduling it like that where there's heavier weights in the Open makes it where the stronger athletes are going to win the Open, and there's not a few people that are kind of like left out because they're strong. They do well with the moderate weights, but like the super lightweight, high rep stuff, which is what the Open traditionally has been, might have discluded some people that would do well at regionals, but since the Open isn't quite the same thing, they didn't even make it to regionals.
Yeah. Another thing they changed this year that I thought was fantastic, and I just wish they had done it sooner, which is they changed it for the teams where, and we've yet to see how this plays
out. That was a great change.
Yeah. So for the teams, they made it to where if someone's competing as an individual, their score is not going to contribute to the team score. So I know our team missed it by one single point. We were 31st, one point last year.
But
there were plenty of teams that showed up that almost nobody on the team was, you know, the contributors to the scores that got them there. And so this year you're going to see a lot less of that. There's going to be an interesting dynamic between I could see teams putting pressure on people who might want to go individuals to stay on team so they can keep that score and be in the top 30. You know, I didn't even really look at how our team did during the Open. People would tell me, I'm like,
what a dick.
Okay. Well, the reason being is it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where you're at, because until people decide where they're going, individual or team, you know, you may be placed 80th, but that might put you in 20th place after all those teams have their individuals go individual. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see how that plays out as well. But those are like two big changes. Is it got heavy. I mean, last year there was a progressive like snatch ladder where it got heavier, but it was one of those things where I think people got so fatigued that like even some strong people didn't get to the heavier weights.
It's not the same because it was not the same as a heavy deadlift.
Yeah, it's not the same as a heavy deadlift.
That was an interesting, sort of pacing challenge too. Like to have that many reps in a deadlift to have it get that heavy is very well with that very novel and
with
fun.
That particular workout, and we it's one of. You know, everyone tries to, and we gave out advice every Thursday night. We see it given. We would give the best advice we could straight away. The longer you wait to give that advice, the better it's going to get. So, like, you know, you have to accept that we were just trying to get something out that people are going to be able to use right out the gate. And sometimes, and the advice, 95% of the advice was spot on, and sometimes it's the pacing that's a hard advice to give until you've seen it done by 10 different types of athletes. Three times. So I remember it being Monday afternoon a lot of times. It's Monday afternoon. We're standing around the gym. We go, oh, that's how you should pace that. You know, and.
Well, you don't know until you actually see it.
And these are conversations, you know, we're having with games athletes. You know, they're just now figuring out. They've watched everyone else do it. They've done it once before. They're kind of seeing how people tweaked it. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, and that deadlift was specifically, that was a, you had to go blazing out the gates, really. Who, it was like, I thought that you should pace it a little bit.
Yeah.
But after watching some people do well, the people who do well tended to like go blazing out the gates.
Who, they had like the to best get those reps in quick for the men. Like who really crushed that? Because I remember reading that.
The deadlift wad?
Yeah, I remember reading that wad like, who in the shit is going to do like 20 reps at 365 after all this? Like how is that possible? And Mike's like,
I didn't see very many people. I saw Rich got to that weight, but I'm not sure how many reps he did with it.
He wasn't the best on that one. I can pull up the leaderboard right now.
There are definitely some crossovers now with monster deadlifts. I knew somebody would do really well.
So week two.
Deadlift was week three.
Week three.
Austin Malio won. He got 182. What was the rep range when the 365 deadlift started? Anybody know? CTP?
Well, Doug, you made it to like 315, right?
For 315 reps. No, I got to 315 deadlifts. Yeah, actually, on the pacing front, like I thought the 275 deadlifts were going to take more out of me than they did.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't doing touch and go on the 275s throughout like the middle of that set. I did some at the start and then I kind of paced it through the middle. And then I did touch and go for like the last. Well, I did touch and go for the last five of that set. I remember specifically because I walked away to the box and they were like, no, go back. You're on the wrong. I was on the wrong rep pattern.
Right.
And so I walked back to the bar, did touch and go for five, did my step ups. And then I was pretty close to being out of time. And so I did touch and go for a set of eight with 315. And I walked away not really that tired after doing a touch and go for a set of eight. And I was like, shit, I should have gone faster on the 275s. I thought that was going to wreck me, and I felt great.
Yeah.
So I should have gone faster, kind of to your point. I think you're totally right about that. Most people didn't go fast enough out of the gate, and I certainly didn't throughout the middle of the workout.
Because I saw guys that weren't as strong as you on a one rep max get a similar score, and it's because they went hard out the gate. They definitely didn't look as good as you did
hindsight
by the time they got to those 315s.
Hindsight's pretty nasty clear, deadlifts. Man, but I still would... Seeing that deadlift, there's no way you shouldn't have started conservative, like with the very real fear that your back was going to be blown to fucking pieces by the end of that. Yeah. Like it's not like unreasonable to say pace this out of the gate, you know.
Yeah, everybody did look bad, but I saw some bad ones.
Yeah, there were some that were worse than others. Yeah. And then I know a lot of really athletes helped. That were like, oh, I felt bad. And I was like, you didn't look bad at all. And then some athletes that didn't comment at all looked terrible right out the gate.
It's probably one of the first years where I said to myself, I should have maybe participated as a competitor in this. Especially the deadlift one, I probably could have done really well.
You totally could have done that.
Yeah. I won't use the word crush, but I would have done, I probably would have done all right at it.
Yeah.
I probably would have maybe exceeded an hour. I think I saw some hour times for, 14.5 was it? The one with all
the last one. It was for time. Whoa. We all got caught off guard with that one.
Yeah, so
a small change.
Every
year
it's been
cool.
Very similar. It's 5 weeks long. I think the one year there was a technical snafu, and that's why they made it six. But it's always been five workouts. We now have like 4 years of historical data on the open.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there are now trends. I'd say this year there was some prediction going on, and there were trends because there's 3 years of data, but now there's like the trends are even stronger now, for sure.
Most of it was the same. The vast majority of it was the same. There was a few little curveballs thrown in there. The row, obviously, was a curveball. Nobody expected the rower because there's never been a rower.
I'd be bored to tears.
No one expects the rower.
If there was no curveball, I'd be... I would actually hate it. Yeah. I love that there was curveballs.
No, I mean, that's the reputation. Like, well, you never know what the workouts are going to be for the most part.
It wouldn't be fun if you didn't go into it knowing there'd be something that would really scare you. You want to be... You can't just be... And it's open. It can't be all predictable. Some of it has to instill like, oh, fucking shit. How am I possibly going to do that? That's what makes it fun to compete.
So Doug made some predictions, which we were all in agreement over. Mm-hmm. He like laid it all out. And then I'm pretty sure that's why Dave Castro changed the wads. It's because
must have been.
Listen to this podcast. He's like, I need to screw Doug over on prediction.
hate that guy. I'm putting a rower in there.
He made that decision.
I'm making it where it's not all AMRAPs anymore.
He made that decision right after he picked out his graphic tees.
Yeah, but for the most part, it really was pretty consistent with the past years. It was mostly AMRAPs. He threw the rounds for time in there at the very end, which I thought was totally cool. The rower, nobody expected, but the rest of the movements were pretty much what we thought. It was very consistent with years past. It was, for the most part, all the major barbell movements and then the same eight or so bodyweight or gymnastics movements. Like when it got to 214.5, we were like, well, there's only really two movements left. Everyone knew it was going to be burpees and thrusters. So that's really all we hadn't done yet.
My prediction for that wad, for the record, it's too late to say it now.
Let's say, I don't think you know how predictions work, dude.
Well, no.
Prediction for the past.
I was saying on Wednesday, after like much discussion with other people and hearing other people's predictions, I thought that it was going to be thrusters and burpees ascending reps. Is what I thought it was going to be. I thought there was going to be, you know, an AMRAP. But descending reps and no time cap was, I was really pleased with that. That sounds like a lot more fun.
Yeah, and for all the people that got to 14.5 and it was like their first year to do the open, they were like, man, I don't know if I'm going to make it through it. Like, I've done all four, like hoping they can do like everything that's required in part five. And they're thinking, man, like, I hope it's like something that's not too hard, but kind of hard so I can like feel good about myself and the fact that I finished the whole open. And then they heard rounds for time and they were like, holy shit, that's heavy for me. And that's going to take me hour, and I'm going to want to quit.
Dude, watching people at the gym do that
anyway, and they're fucking
rough.
Say what?
So watching people at the gym do that workout was like no one looked like it was the most depressing scene on the planet.
Nobody looked like they were having fun.
It's a fight or flight
just like
moment,
just getting
dude.
Through it.
I watched that one. I actually watched that one at SilFit in Encinitas, California, on Friday morning. Went there and was it Ashley, the wife?
Yeah.
She did it alongside two other athletes, and it was. I could tell it was tough. It was tough.
Yeah. I didn't do it as prescribed. I did front squats and burpees, but it was still nasty.
If you don't know this, Doug really can't go overhead with a barbell. And neither can I. And that's why we didn't participate.
I can go overhead. It's pretty ugly, but I can still.
I don't do much overhead work after a shoulder surgery. That still bugs me quite a bit, but front squats are fine. So I did front squats and burpees and I had a great time doing it. Like I got done, I was obviously super tired, but it was fun the whole time and it didn't wreck me. I didn't walk outside and throw up. I felt pretty good afterward.
Yeah.
Because you're a machine.
Did 12 minutes, I think.
Doug Larson, the machine.
I wish.
So you watched the wife do it in San Diego or whatever as you're like, come on, this looks hard. And eating like a chorizo burrito and saying, come on, baby, you can do this shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, for me, I had a surfing session lined up later that day and I wanted to save all my energy for the waves.
You're in a do as I say, not as I do kind of state in life right now. Right? Like, no, come on, this is what you told us you do for the open. I'm going to go fucking surf and eat tacos.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you can't compete the whole open due to an injury, it's kind of like, well, I'll just go do other things.
Well, there you go, man.
Yeah, and the waves. Yeah,
you've been kind of bouncing back and forth between being injured and performing really well. Like, you'll be injured, like you'll be limping around, and then you'll PR.
You're
and then
old.
You'll be injured again, and then you'll PR. It's like you're kind of going back and forth.
Yeah, when I'm healthy, I'm doing really well athletically. And then, I think it's just years and years of abuse.
You've been pulling some big cleans lately. What have you been cleaning? You've been pulling them high, too.
I know. My timing's off. I'm pulling too high, and they're crashing.
Too high, they're crashing on you. But
yeah, close to 300 pounds. Like, I'm working my way back up. So.
And what are you weighing right now? Like 162, 163?
I'm a little heavy. I've been weighing like 185.
Oh, you're so huge.
San Diego tacos.
I weighed 185. Let me see. Probably like in sixth grade. Last time I was that light.
Yeah, but
I'm serious.
Well, a year ago I was cleaning over 300 pounds. I was clean and jerking 300 pounds and snatching like 260, and I was at 169. So that's why I say I'm heavy compared to like previous lifts. So like I feel strong, but I'm also a little bit heavier than I was in the past. If you're looking at like legitimate PRs, let's get back on. Let's stop talking about me. Jesus.
I'm the first time you've ever said that. I think.
Don't call me Jesus.
Oh, geez. All right. So
take a break real quick.
Yeah, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about the difference between open regionals games and then talk about, especially if you did not qualify for regionals, which is going to be the majority of the population.
If you're in
the
broken dream crew, what do you do? How do you turn this ship right around?
If your heart is broken right now, what should you be doing for training? That's what we're going to talk about.
Come back after the break. We're going to announce 14.6.
You are now listening to The Break on Barbell Shrugged.
Barbell Shrug Break, girl.
Barbell Shrug Podcast Break.
Behind the scenes.
We talk about politics and recipes.
Are we
going to
keep this audio for every break we take?
Every break. Yeah, so if you were watching the video version right now, you'd be watching a Technique Wad. Isn't that right, Doug?
But they could be hearing this for like the 100th time because we're going to use it every time.
I think so.
Yeah. Sounds like a bad idea.
So watching Technique Wad would be way cooler than listening to this weak-ass break.
So you should go to barbellshrug.com so you can watch the videos.
Seeing is believing.
Yeah, seeing is cooler. And then CTP also edits in really cool videos.
And maybe some porn.
No, they probably won't be any porn.
Dude, CTP, keep the porn in there. People are going to want to see it.
Seriously, you should start watching the video version. Three, two, one.
And we're back. Is that good enough?
Well
good
done.
Job.
Damn. Yeah, you prepare for that?
My whole life, Doug.
It was his last day of work today.
I know.
It was. Oh, yeah.
Your last day at work. We surprised you with Modelo's.
I got out to my Jeep after leaving my corporate utilitarian hovel area workstation, and I get out there and I go, oh shit, there's a beer in my seat. What kind soul recognize that? Like, it's like the end of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest when like the Indian breaks out of the thing and runs for the hills. There's that, and like the guy stands up in the bed, like clapping. He got away. About somebody in the office that just left that beer. Like,
that's a great movie. By
you
the
go,
way.
You yeah. son of a bitch, go for your freedom. But then I saw my brothers out there. Go, oh shit! It was a very nice moment.
I'm actually really sad I didn't get to make it. I was in flight at the time, but yeah, Doug and CTP made it out.
You're a free man.
Yeah, I guess the message today is, you might be scared as shit to make a decision, but if you fucking believe it and you're gonna chase your passion, you got to take a step towards what is going to make you happy. If you do that, if you have faith in that, good shit is going
to
happen.
Yeah, if you don't follow Barbell Buddha or listen to Chris's solo podcast, you should, for one. And if you don't, you may not know that he just quit the big corporate gig to go not to another corporate gig, but to be an entrepreneur and work for himself.
And you did it at a crazy time with a baby on the way within weeks.
Yeah, I mean,
two on the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
What?
Well, here's the thing about...
Say what?
You say two on the way?
No, baby number two.
Oh, oh number two. I was like,
he's already taken care of one. And
well, I was like, holy shit, twins?
Well, people look at you like a crazy asshole for making such a decision. And I tell, yeah, it's understandable. But it's just like when you have a decision to have a kid, like the golden rule is that if you're waiting for the right time, it will never fucking come. And I believe that'd be true about everything in your life. If you're scared... You can't look at it as a bad thing. You can't let it delay you because it's a fuel for you going forward and achieving what you want to achieve. And you got to realize that if there's something you want to do and you don't focus the right time, that's a fucking illusion. It's never going to feel that way.
It's kind of like the people who always wait for the stars to align. They tend not to align until they retire. They're like 65. Oh, now I'll go see the world. It's like, whoa,
I had my boss.
You can barely make it up those steps.
I made that decision. I made that decision when I had a discussion with one of my bosses or whatever. He's like, you know what, I can appreciate what you're doing. It's a bold move. It's brave. If I have any regrets, I'd say I wish I went into business for myself, but you know, I've got 7 more years. I got to survive this, and when I'm 65 or so, maybe I'll go back and do what I want. I go, holy fuck. And there's a guy with
that was like that, like that was the nail in the coffin, right?
Yeah,
there.
I was like,
you, yeah.
I had a tremor of fear come over, like, holy shit, man. And this is a guy with a lot of money. This guy has no concerns. But he's gonna carry that, and it's gonna, when you're 70 years old or so, and you have that, you the knowledge that you could have taking a shot at something unknown but glorious and beautiful and fulfilling when you're in your 30s, you don't want to carry that into your grave, man. You do not want that on you. So if there's somebody in the audience who goes, you know what, there's something I really need to do, I feel it, but it doesn't feel like the right time, at the very least, you need to really think about how you're going to make it happen really soon, because that's going to haunt your fucking ass to the grave. Yeah, make it happen, baby.
I actually had one of my buddies, he in the Navy, he just got selected for chief. So that's a big deal to make a jump from.
That's his official title, is chief?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's a rank, yeah. So he got selected for...
hey, chief.
You look so confused.
And once you make...
Why there been a fucking army or anything?
Making chief is a big deal in the Navy. And he felt like it was affecting his decision on whether he should get out of the Navy. You know, he's not scheduled to get out for a while, but he's playing around with all these different ideas. And I was like, the rank you make in the Navy should have nothing to do with deciding whether you get out or not. You know, just,
well, that's
you gotta think about what you want your life to be about, the time, who are the people you want to spend time with. And if it's other sailors you want to spend all your time with, and that's what you want to do, then
I want to spend more time with sailors. They seem awesome.
Then you should do that. But if, you know, you want to spend some time with people who may not be in the military and you want to spend some more time with your family and so on and so forth, maybe you should look at something else.
I will
else.
Say this for people, so. People in the audience: if your expectation is, well, I'm not really satisfied with what I'm doing now, and this goes for training too, man. Like, if you think I'm not having a good time, but if I get to the next PR, the next stage, the next accomplishment, the next level up in the office building, then I'll probably, this will go away and I'll feel really good. You should go CTP on that. You should go watch that Alan Watts video on music and see the trap that is. There are good reasons to chase things, but once you get a taste and it's not working for you, realize that maybe it's an illusion. You need to reconsider what you're chasing for. It's something that'll just blow your mind.
How do I find this?
YouTube,
Alan Watts.
Alan Watts and music, and it'll blow your music. Friggin' mind.
Okay.
The point being that nobody listens to music in a rush to get to the last note as if the ending was the point of the song. Yeah. The point is that you play a song and you dance along while the music's playing. That's how you should live your life.
Yeah, sometimes you're sad when the song is over.
That's true.
And then you hit repeat.
This is a good video. CTP showed me it earlier.
It'll blow your mind.
Yeah, I want to cover this. We've covered this in previous shows before, but I just want to recap since people tend to miss things sometimes. The open tends to be lighter, and then it's predictable. It's going to be between 5 and 20 minutes long. This year it was much shorter.
Workout.
Yeah, per workout. At regionals, it tends to be the heaviest. And at the games, you see the highest, more gymnastics, random skills. But people have ran the data. The games is just not as heavy as regionals. But the gymnastic skills are more prominent. And then the random skills, like hitting things with sledgehammers and whatnot, you know, whatever.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's much more novelty.
How
can
we work
in
explosions into the games? Like, you fucking hit something with a sledgehammer, something just explodes.
I think Dave could probably figure that out.
Yeah. That is one thing I really enjoy about the games, is that wild randomness thing. That oh shit moment. We got to do what? Like, the fittest guys in the world, you can take on any challenge. And go, oh shit, man! Like, you finally get to see them scared of something.
Yeah, I think that's still the biggest thing for a lot of those guys is the water. You know, if they have to swim,
because they're also damn dense and muscular.
They're out there, or a lot of them just don't practice being in the water.
Well, maybe a little bit of both.
Yeah.
That time I saw what's his name? The strong man from CrossFit.
Rob Orlando.
Rob. But Rob getting out in the open water, I almost fucking died out there. I go, oh shit, man. Because as fat as I am, I know the density problem when you get in the water. I could walk across the bottom of a pool. So I know how bad I would be out in the middle of the water trying to do that race.
So, Chris, you made on our last 14.5 preparation video for strategies and hot tips, you went through the stages of grief of not making it to regionals.
Yeah.
I was thoroughly entertained by that.
And did you see my titty that everybody pointed out on Instagram? CTP put that, showed me a picture, like, oh man, you think that's cool? I go, oh, I think it's great. Not seeing the titty. And I see 15 baloney titty comments on the fucking Instagram.
Oh, man.
Hey man, the shirt was pushing it up. Anybody in this room, if I take this t-shirt and I shove it up on your tit, it's going to look like you got a bitch tit. How many hashtag bitch tit hashtags do I see? Fucking A, man.
My favorite,
just trying
my favorite
to entertain
one was,
you dudes.
It says hot tips. And then the one right below it said hot nips.
Yeah, fucking hell. That's the last time I showed my titty to you guys.
I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to get a tank top on. I'm gonna squeeze my bust together here, and I'm gonna do a titty shot just for you, so that you know, to make you feel better. I'll be in the same boat. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you. Yeah. But still, I had to jump in a boat first, and that's not the funnest job to have. But on the video, that slow motion rip looks like what I had envisioned the pic should be. Epic slow motion roar, Hulk Hogan style.
Yeah, so you were talking about accepting your fate, not going to regionals. Maybe having a little fun. What were the six stages?
You start off very excited. You get a little frustrated as reality sets in. What was the number three? It goes through a little bit of a...
excitement, anxiety, frustration.
There's excitement, anxiety. When you get on the toilet, you have your pre-wad poops, which is a very real thing.
Pre-wad
especially
poops,
if you combine
baby.
It with a little coffee and things get unsettled. Then frustration, like, oh shit, this is pretty tough. And then you look at Rich, like, I don't know if this is the year I beat Rich. Turns out it's never the year you beat Rich. denial, like, no shit, man, I can still do this. No, man, I'm like last in my region out of 18,000 people, but, you know, I'm pretty good at burpees. Then at desperation point, then the acceptance that, okay, it's not going to work this year. I should maybe do something different.
Yeah.
Which I try to be actually, we try to be a little serious in that point. So, you know, it's probably a good time, like, maybe get much stronger than you are now, for instance.
Yeah, maybe look at what motivates you intrinsically. So the trying to compete and do well is a very extrinsic thing. You're comparing yourself to others. You're not looking at how you've improved because you're not hitting workouts that you've done before and you're not hitting benchmarks. You're doing a workout and then you're seeing how you did compared to other people. It's a very extrinsic motivational thing. I think that can be good for a period of time, but it's a really great way to burn out. And that's what now's time to like get back to what you find important.
And what you need, what you specifically need for yourself. That's what got me out of powerlifting in the end is that, and like, I'm sure we'll get to talk with AJ about this in a couple weeks. When's AJ coming to town?
Next weekend.
Yeah, so he was in a similar boat.
AJ will be here. He'll be on the show next week. So next week should be AJ Roberts.
AJ Roberts.
When you're driven only by how you stack up to others and driven only by a goal that is like to make it to a certain event, it's great, but it's just like any other thing in your life where you're being driven by something external for yourself. It's great, but if you don't balance it out with at least a period of recovery, like in an off season, and return focus to you and what makes you happy, what makes you satisfied, what you need to work on for you to be satisfied with your training, you're going to burn out and plateau way sooner than you otherwise would. You got to have time to reflect and get introspective.
Well, one of the things, the best I ever performed in weightlifting is when I didn't worry about how anyone else did in the competition at all.
Exactly.
I went to, you know, I peaked for a competition and I was only worried about hitting the numbers I wanted to hit for me and for personal reasons. And I didn't even look at the scoreboard or leaderboard. It was days later to find out what ranked in that
competition.
It's
amazing. Once those habits, I mean, I think we all agree.
I had the most fun competing that day too.
Once the habits shift from like, what's that guy doing? How can I do that? How can I compare? Once it shifts to, what do I need to do? What's my next best step? How can I best prepare and set my mindset? Like, once you start building basic habits day to day, your results just sort of just happen. You get stronger without even having to really worry about it.
Yep.
You do well at a meet because you're not so obsessed about everything. You're thinking about what you need to do to get ready for the meet.
Yeah.
That is one of the best things about weightlifting, powerlifting, CrossFit, all these sports where you're competing basically against yourself and then other people happen to be there also competing against themselves and then everyone's just compared in the end and there's a first place, second place where you can go out there and do your best, lose the competition, but walk away knowing you did better than you've ever done before and probably be pretty happy with yourself. Other sports, you could do your best and still, you're an MMA fighter or whatever, you could do the best you've ever done and still walk out of there looking stupid. The other guy can make you look like the worst you've ever been because he's just that much better than you.
Yeah,
the greatest joy,
Anderson Silva as Forrest Griffin would be.
That's probably the best example that could be.
Like, Forrest Griffin, one of the best fighters in the whole world.
I thought I was ready.
Looked foolish in front of everybody only because he was being compared to the next best person in the world.
Yeah, and he ran out of the ring totally embarrassed.
Yeah,
I had a stage.
I don't blame him.
I had a stage in powerlifting where obviously it becomes about, well, I'm really strong, but fuck, I'm not as strong as the strongest guy in the world, and how can I get there? And nothing's ever good enough, and you get sort of lost. And I know people are feeling that about the Open or regionals. They'll go, well, I did much better than last year, but fuck, I got 65th out of whatever, or I got 100th, and that's just not good enough. Well, you lose track of what is so great about a barbell. Yeah. The reason why CrossFit's great and why weightlifting is great and why powerlifting is great is because it's the single best like self-calibrating sort of, it's a state of mindfulness. When you get in the gym and you get so engrossed in what you're doing, you think about the reps and you're having such a good time and you forget about everything else in the world for that hour and you leave better than you were, restored, That's what it should be. And for a lot of people, you get so consumed about your performance and how the programming needs to be fancy or whatever the fuck, and you forget that it becomes something other than what it should be. It becomes an additional stress in your life.
I think for me personally, I think this is going to vary. This does vary from person to person. You know, the most satisfying thing for me is seeing my back squat go up, my snatch, clean and jerk. Those are the things that when I hit PRs on those, I'm very, very pleased. And in competition or not, and I'm only comparing myself to myself. It's just like me in the barbell. And as I've gotten older, I've done a lot less looking around and just kind of looking more to just what I do. And that's where I've like found the most, you know, success and fulfillment at the same time. So I, you know, that's what I find to be fun. So after like maybe competing and stuff that's not that, that's where I want to gravitate towards. It's like, now I'm going to do that for a period of time to kind of rejuvenate. It's actually like exercise that's for rejuvenation. And I think that that's what most people should do now, right after the open. The worst thing you could do is probably roll into some programming that
will continue to beat you down.
That will just
pretty
like,
tired now.
Yeah, that's like, oh, I got to start preparing like the day after. Spend a couple weeks, you know, doing what's fun. Go paddle boarding, go for jogs in the park, go play some ultimate frisbee. Don't do any pull-ups. you know, do some stuff that you find rejuvenating.
The classic.
Yeah, so you're going to train basically for fun for a couple of weeks. Let your body heal, and then kind of as you're easing your way back into more intense training, what should we be doing basically that we haven't done in a while to like shore up weaknesses and let our shoulders get some work without continuing to beat them up? The open is a lot of overhead stuff. Should we be doing kind of more shoulder friendly stuff as we're easing back into training, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, for, you know, so the psychological perspective, make training fun again. So figure out what it is that makes it fun. And then there's some things you want to avoid. I remember last year we had an athlete right after the, I think it was right after the open. Yeah. And she, I was like, all right, for the next 2 weeks, I'm not programming anything. Do what you want to do for fun. And what she did was she went and found another program that was preparing people for regionals. And then she,
this is what I think is fun.
And then she definitely wasn't having fun. She was kind of, you know, still trying to push it for
you
whatever
think the
reason.
The biggest mistake.
Like hard on herself.
Yeah.
It's the biggest single mistake people are going to make.
And so I said, I said specifically, do whatever you want, but don't do pull-ups. Don't go overhead. And she ended up really messing up her shoulder. Like her shoulder like started really bothering her. Yeah. And I was like, cause she went into a program that was prepping people for regionals where they were doing a lot of high rep pull-ups, chest bar pull-ups, stuff like that. And I was like, that is exactly what you should not have done. But you know, I don't think I had to say anything at that point. So yeah, unilateral movement. So I'm a big fan of a lot of horizontal pulling first. So a lot of rows, barbell rows, dumbbell rows, kettlebell rows, any type of row. I do like the crossover symmetry stuff. If you're not already using that, check out crossoversymmetry.com.
I'm a fan of that too. I've been doing that in the garage every day, basically.
They have a really cool system for shoulder health. If you're not already doing something to keep your shoulders healthy, check that out. It's really good stuff. We have one in the gym, and I use the shit out of it all the time.
Mm-hmm. Use it every day.
It makes my shoulders feel a lot better. That's a really good thing to do. So I like a lot of horizontal pulling. You know, rows, barbell rows, anything. And then I'm also a big fan of the unilateral movements. So you've been doing a lot of bilateral stuff. You've been doing a lot of squatting, pressing with barbells. But break it up. Get some dumbbells. You know, even if you're going to do them at the same time, just having each hand being separate, you know, not connected to the same object can be really good. And then doing a lot of lunges. Mm-hmm. Rear foot elevated split squats, look it up. I think we have a technique wad on that.
Oh, no.
We do.
To throw in some single leg stuff, give your knees a break. So, you know, stay away from a lot of squatting. If you do squats, do some tempo squats or something like that. You know,
which, by the way, the slow down and pause squats is probably one of the most awesome things anybody can do to probably feel a lot better squatting and also make your squat a lot better really quick.
Yeah, for at least a month, I would stay away from any, like super heavy squatting. Just do tempos. Unless you're preparing for regionals. These are for people who aren't preparing for regionals. This is for the
oak. You got to stay strong if you're going to regionals.
So, tempo squats, single leg squats, single arm presses, single arm rows.
Also like step ups.
Yeah, step ups. So yeah, not just split squats, but yeah, step ups. Mm-hmm. Hardest thing you'll ever do, don't do this because I just told you not to do overhead stuff, but try at one point like overhead step ups. It's deceivingly hard.
Holding a weight over your head while
you get a barbell overhead. And the, you know, maybe I shouldn't even have suggested that. There's going to be people submitting be videos of people get hurt.
Yeah. Dumbbell or kettlebell step-ups are fine. Front rack step-ups, I like those a lot too.
Yep, yep.
Putting a bar on your back, nothing wrong with that.
Man, yeah, so a lot of single leg stuff, single arm stuff. Get back to some like simple core movements. Make some leg raises that aren't toes the bar. You know, farmer's carries.
Mm-hmm. I like all the strongman stuff in the early off season. Yeah. All the total body strongman stuff. You just said farmer's carries a second ago.
Super great for your
heavy
core.
Keg carries and stone carries. It's very similar to horizontal pulling because you're basically pulling something into you, especially if you carry a keg lengthwise like this. You just reach around and pull it in and walk like that. We do that, or we used to do that rather a lot with our high school athletes, especially when I was in high school.
Right.
Yoke walks and things like that. Maybe not super heavy right off the bat if you're trying to let your back and your knees and whatnot rest, but I just like the total body strongman stuff. Turkish get-ups are another one that I like to do, especially right out of the off season. It is overhead, but it's not necessarily heavy if you choose not to do it heavy.
It's not putting your shoulders in a... It's not like forcing your shoulders into a weird position.
Yeah, most people use Turkish get-ups for shoulder health specifically. Yeah. So if you don't have any shoulder problems and you have good overhead range of motion and you want to do some overhead stuff without beating your shoulders up too much, then Turkish get-ups are a great option.
There's a lot of lot of fun stuff that you can move pretty good amounts of weight for a pretty good amount of time but not get too beat up, and it's all very novel. Strongman stuff is just a great way to prepare yourself for the next wave of training coming later on.
Yeah, I would just avoid anything you saw in the open for at least 2 weeks.
I was going to say this point earlier, but I think people's greatest fear is that, holy shit, if I work on strength or if I take a break, all my progress would just fucking vanish like an ethereal vapor and I'll be fucking worthless and I'll never be able to compete again. So therefore, I got to jump right back into it hardcore now and keep that up until next fucking February.
And it just
can't be. Even watch like people like Ilian Ilyev, the weightlifter, best weightlifter in the fucking world, took like a year off and didn't do anything. And now he's slowly building back. The point being is the harder you chase after something, you don't take a break, you cannot keep it up, and you cannot expect next year to be able to somehow improve. You'll be burnt out before you get to the fall.
Mm-hmm. I already did surfing and yoga for a year.
Look at you.
No, not me. I said him.
Hitting PRs. You're talking about Ilya?
Oh, I thought it was you.
No, I was talking about Ilya.
Yeah, but the point being is
when I take a break for a year, that's what I'll do.
The benefit from the rest is way more beneficial than keeping on training. Yeah, one is sustainable, one is not. You need to give yourself a break so you can push harder on the back end and make the improvement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one thing I want to talk about for planning for the whole year is I would find that one competition that you want to peak for next. So, but one a year, pick one. And for most people, it's going to be the open again. They want to do really well there. And then pick two or three more competitions you're going to do throughout the year. So try to do a competition every 3 or 4 months. But don't specifically train just for that. You want to peak throughout the year, but have small peaks. Think about it as practice for competition.
We made that point on one of the actual, we had said, get stronger at the end of the hot tips video as one actual useful point.
Yeah.
The second one being, if you got a benefit of all these tips and everything, great. But one thing you need to do for yourself is just get more practice. So if you can rest a bit, then pick a couple competitions. Don't get too intense about how well you do, but do some variety. Practice for yourself what it's going to take for you to have a better pace and a better strategy.
Yeah.
Practice the act of competing and having fun and get used to
it. And treat it as practice. Don't put too much pressure on yourself to be the best you can be at that competition and be better than other people.
I was going to say it's like a skill in itself because I used to play guitar in bands and stuff. Like when you're chilling.
Oh, weren't you so cool, CTP?
Yeah, you know how it goes. But I was going to say.
CTP is pretty good at the guitar.
He's pretty awesome.
When you're in the band room practicing and playing and stuff, it's one thing. It's like, it's cool. And then you go to the stage for your first time. It's like, there's just so many things you weren't thinking about. So just getting in the practice of going to a competition, it's like, it's not even about your workout ability. Mm-hmm. It's about like,
you have to get good.
Oh, hey, you got a shit. What are you going to do?
You
got
to, you need experience, man. Shitting and training.
It reminds you
of
all the things that you have been neglecting, number one. Yeah. And then it also cues you into all the things that you wouldn't even have known to think about unless exactly. you compete frequently, and you get or you forget about if you don't compete.
Competing
very often.
Is like a skill in itself.
Just it really is.
You get a chance to see people who are really awesome. Like, how do they? What do they do before to rest, to recover? How do they pack their food? How do they warm up? When do they warm up?
And then ignore all that and start your own shit.
No, I'm saying, but you get to see. Yeah, you get to see how people are going about it. If you have no fucking clue, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another thing.
That guy's got a shake, and I've got a bologna sandwich. Maybe I shouldn't have a bologna sandwich before I do this wad.
I love bologna though. Big bologna is going to come out.
Another thing I was going to say is in the off season, especially the very early off season, right after you have gotten done competing, you know, you've just built up a bunch of volume. You've just been getting.
Come on, Doug.
I know.
So unprofessional.
That was my go to bed alarm. It's too late. We need to get out of here.
Yeah.
And CTP needs to edit
the latest
this show.
We've ever done a fucking show.
I know. It really is.
It
is Tuesday night late, and CTP has to edit this and have it posted in like 12 hours. You're going to be up all night.
Less than 12 hours.
Rinse spring, baby.
That's all right. So anyway, early off season, you've just done a bunch of volume leading up to whatever competition you were doing. In this case, we just got done with the Open. Again, in this case, it's been 5 weeks grinding through a very rough competition. So coming out of the Open, like Mike said, you know, focus on intrinsic motivations, focus on doing things that you enjoy. But another thing that I think you should focus on is really taking the quality of your movement into consideration. Not yes. doing high volume, not focusing on quantity, but really focusing on quality. We always say to focus on good technique and whatnot, and that'll never go away. But we all know that during competitions, you're not at 100% perfect technique. There's a little bit of slop in there. Even if you're really, really good about technique, still you will break down a little bit if you are really pushing it. So get away from that. Get away from the slop. Perfect technique, high quality reps. You can focus on doing, even if you're doing like chest to bar pull-ups, maybe just do a set of five and do it just absolutely completely perfect. And you're not even tired when you got done. You weren't trying to get in shape. You were practicing doing something perfect. And so that's okay to do something like every minute on a minute for something that's, a third or a fourth or a fifth of what you could do in an AMRAP set. So if you could do 50 chest to bar pull-ups in a row, maybe you do sets of 10 and you know that there's no way you're going to even get tired. Your movement quality isn't going to suffer at all. And you can work on doing perfect, super crisp, perfect reps. And that becomes like your body's default setting is doing it perfect.
Yeah.
I was very, very fortunate growing up that I was like, really never allowed to do anything wrong. Like really, really, really never allowed to do anything.
The fucking shows now. I mean, your deadlifts look fucking perfect on that wad you did.
Yeah, like I don't know what it feels like to round my back on deadlifts because I've never, ever done it.
I can show you, Doug.
I remember, I know. I've never been allowed to.
Exactly, I know, I see it all the time.
Let's front squat together.
I mean, like if I start to round my back, I just drop it. I just don't do a rep.
Right.
I'm not like I, I'm so good about anything that I can't round my back. Like it can't happen. I just won't pull it if that's the case. But even when I get tired, my back doesn't round. Basically,
it's programmed
ever.
In your nervous system.
I was never allowed to because I was taught quality, quality, quality every time. And if my back ever rounded ever, like I was yelled at and I had to drop the bar. But now,
Mark slapped you with a bamboo pole.
When Doug was first introduced to CrossFit, his mind was blown. He was like, "What is happening?" And it's it took like years to like accept that this is a competition.
Yeah.
Like and this is where you got to have that separation. Is you just spent 5 weeks competing where slop is almost encouraged.
Yeah.
But here's the thing: is you're putting for every sloppy rep you do, you're doing something that's not optimal for your joints and that connective tissue is breaking down little by little.
You're charging credit.
And you've got to if you just keep doing that, you're eventually gonna break. And if we talked to Kelly Starrett about this and he talks about that mobility wad and stuff like that is, you can't just keep on moving bad. It may not hurt you today. You go, I rounded today or my shoulder didn't move. It didn't initiate the movement like it was supposed to. And, my pull up, I still get my chest to the bar, just getting from the beginning of the movement to the end of the movement is not, a good standard for training. It's a good standard for when you're testing, when you're competing. But yeah, you got to get back and get those not just movement patterns, but it's also letting the tissue move the way it was intended, so it doesn't break down and
you gotta
then
pay off,
end up with a tear.
You got to pay off all that debt. Like the biggest thing I started noticing in powerlifting was that to move the max weight at any cost, when the time you get to 40, 45, you got a big debt to pay off in terms of all those years of cutting corners in order to make the weight happen. You didn't go back and the biggest thing I've done to make myself stronger. in these recent years is not to keep pushing in the direction I was pushing, but to go back and learn a better vertical squat posture and to get my ankles moving better. And once I was able to do that, the mechanics then supported a new new paths to strength.
Yeah, and that goes into like one of our next points, which is progressions. Like like even if you can do handstand pushups or muscle ups or something like that, it might be good to like go back and there's there's muscle up progressions. There's things you need to do to get better at muscle ups that aren't muscle ups. And even if you can do plenty of muscle ups, go back and do those progression exercises to build up strength in those positions that, you know, aren't pushing you into like those sloppy reps. So don't be afraid to back up right now. This is the time to back up. You're not going to want to back up when it gets close to competition.
Right.
So we're as far as you can
go. So get like, move back on the progression a little bit. It's okay. That's where Chris is seeing most of his results right now, is moving back on the progression of some of these powerlifting movements.
We got to call it something other than moving. We got to call it something fancy, Doug. Not backing up and doing things over again, but something buzzy. The thing I realize is that you can push off in a direction and get really good at a certain thing. You go off and you get so good and you tweak things to get squeeze the most, you know, progress out of a lift and you get to the far end of a continuum. But then what do you need most to get that move again? Not more of the same intense things. It's like for you to go back and, quote, be a beginner and to reassess mechanics is the best thing you can do for more performance. It's not like you're stepping back and redoing something. That's the wrong way to think about it. This is the path to getting more strength out of the same movement. And when you go back and get things complicated again, try new things, you can push to new ground. You can't just keep going off in that same direction if you have something that's not moving right, if you have a technique limitation. Going back and fixing that and progressing again can give you more performance.
Right. Technique is position specific. So if you need to scale back for some reason in order to do something through a truly full range of motion, like if you do kipping pull-ups and every time you do it, you go like this, and you try to just barely stick your chin over the bar, and you never actually pull under your chin with a totally neutral neck, or you can't hit chest to bar, doing more and more bad reps where you just barely get your chin over the bar, and now you go from being able to do 15 in a row to 20 in a row to 25 in a row, won't necessarily make you better at doing more perfect reps. And so scaling back in some way, whether you're doing like with a light band and you're kipping and you're getting all the way through that full range of motion and you're doing the rep now technically correct, is really the best way to be able to do it technically correct with full weight or full body weight in that case later on. So kind of like Gray Cook says, like you never want to add fitness to dysfunction, because if you're doing something not functionally correct, if you have a dysfunctional movement, which basically means you have bad technique, even if it's not horrifically bad where you're going to hurt yourself, it's just not 100% correct, like we talked about deadlifts. If you're slightly rounding your back on a deadlift, you're adding strength to dysfunction. You're adding strength to a round back. And so now that, since you're stronger there, is the default pattern for your body to take up.
You just diagnosed in my
case,
back.
Yeah, in my case, since I was never, ever, 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 ever allowed to round my back, that is my default setting. That really is where I'm strongest. If I rounded my back, that means I'm not going to be able to pick it up at all, because if I can't do it in my strongest setting and I start around my back, then I can't pick it up at all, basically. So if you can only do perfect reps, even if that means you have to scale down, whether it's a gymnastics regression down like for something like kipping pull-ups, or whether it's something like a deadlift where you have to elevate the bar because you don't have the mobility for it, or whether it's something like just going with lighter weight, that's really the key to being able to do something perfect later on, is backing off in the off season, doing everything perfectly correct. That way, when you go to do it in season and you have to pull from the floor or you have to get chest to bar, you've done those perfect reps, even if it was with lighter weight months ago.
Yeah.
I think Chris is right. We got to brand that. So it's so cool.
Yeah, but you know, in that range of motion,
idea of regression without, it's got such a negative connotation.
It's not because an example Doug gives,
scaling
it's
got a negative connotation. So we got to do something new.
You know, up here where you're like Doug's
explosions
example, and
boobs and
reigning supreme.
you can be sort of advanced and a beginner at the same time, even the same lift. Like you're really strong in this half range of motion pull up, but you're not comfortable getting to your chest. You should go back and train in a, quote, beginner way, because down here you're a beginner. All this is not even trained.
Down here,
your titties.
I think Carl Pally has a really good model for this, where he kind of meets in the middle ground where it's not 100% perfect all the time. I think if I remember, I'm not quoting him necessarily 100% perfectly, but I think this is what he has said before, is that you want to go like for progression 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you'd want to go like 80% toward progression number 2, where you can do something 80% correct and then make the leap up to the next stage in that progression, and then get that one like 80% there, and then make the leap up. And then once you get to the top, then you go back and you start over.
Yeah.
And then the second time you go through it, you can hit that 100% mark on each one. So that way you're not stuck, you know, using a band on pull-ups your whole life. Eventually you got to just kind of make the leap and do like a body weight pull-up or a body weight negative or something.
Wanna,
and then when you go back down.
You want to impress chicks in the gym and get laid sometime. Come on.
Zach Evan Esch talked about that too when we did something with him where he's talking about squat, bench, deadlift. Talk about like progressions on how to train someone to do those things for the first time and do it well. Then he also talked about, you know, after you do those progressions and you're doing a squat, bench, or deadlift in a workout, there's also an opportunity there to get better at those movements by going back in that progression, going back in that progression and doing some of those movements as assistance work too. So, you know, you, even if you've mastered a muscle up or handstand push up or a snatch or something like that, or at least if you think you have, now, you know, it might be good to go ahead and do some muscle ups, handstand push ups or snatches during your workout. But don't forget to go back and do that, those progression movements as assistance work to kind of build up those patterns and to be just stronger in those positions.
Mm-hmm. I also like isometric holds for end range of motion. You program a lot of that, which I really, really like. After having done some of the stuff that you program before, yeah. I have become a really big advocate for doing that. If you're not strong overhead, doing handstand holds is fantastic. If you're not really good about getting your chin all the way over the bar, doing a chest to bar hold for time is a great idea.
It's easier on the joints too. It gives your joints a break.
Yeah, it is. It's easier on your joints, and you're training the part of the range of motion that you never really get to train otherwise.
If you do kipping pull-ups and nothing but kipping pull-ups, and then now you have to do a chin over bar hang, that's going to be really tough for you because you never contract in that position.
Novelty.
Dude, what were those isometric intervals of doom that we were doing for a while there? It was like what you just said, but back.
Oh, yeah, we were basically doing Tabatas of that, something similar to that where we're doing like
rough.
Alternate we're Tabata, doing like static holds.
Chest to bar, L-sit holds combined with handstand holds for Tabata intervals. Forever, yeah. They got rough after a while.
We were building a progression, so I was seeing how far we could go before it was just like people falling on their heads. It was fun.
Yeah, we added another set to that progression each week.
Yeah.
And it was tough to keep it going by the time we ended. We ended up doing nine sets of it or
something. We got Super Diesel, though. Check out these guns.
Super Diesel.
All right, I think it's time to wrap this show up. Make sure you go over to barbellstrug.com, sign up for the newsletter so we can send you updates about when we post podcasts, maybe when we go somewhere.
You'll see the extra special nip slip pics I didn't put in.
Oh, we'll be in California soon. Chris wants to go to Pixar. If you work at Pixar and you are a fan of the show and you want to give Chris a tour, he would love it.
Seriously, well, if you work at Pixar.
Is that how you say tour?
Tour.
I will
trade you some Pokemon cards.
One more shout out to Wellbeing Coffee. They sent some coffee and it was delicious.
Yeah. Nice of them.
Yeah.
You got coffee here?
Yeah, but it got drank up before you shot to
it. I'm not endorsing anything. I need to taste it.
It was delicious. Good. They're doing good things over there, so check it out. I think it's wellbeing.com. I think it's well-bean.com, so check those guys out.
Well,
okay. Actually, I have one more thing, too. I put together a little checkbox list of things that we talk about on the show, and we're really curious to see exactly what you want to learn about on the show. We're always trying to get as much feedback as possible. That way we can talk about the things you want to hear about, and we don't have to talk about things that you're not interested in. So
I'm just going to talk about what I want to talk about, Doug.
That's usually what happens.
Hey, and people love it,
if you were
Doug.
Here when we play on the show. But no, go to barbellstrug.com/learn, and there's going to be a little video explaining it. But then it's just a bunch of little check boxes, like check the box if you want to get bigger and stronger, or check the box if you want to learn how to compete, or check the box if you want to get better at gymnastics or whatever. It's got all the kind of CrossFit-y type things on. There's like a dozen of them. So just go check the boxes that you like and then hit submit.
CrossFit.com.
Do you have a checkbox that's like, hey, I injured my shoulder 2 years ago in a car accident and I've been on the squat program, but now I'm thinking about changing to an endurance program?
We got that one.
I like
on there.
That
we should add that
one.
That's
a checkbox.
That's right. So if you want to help us out, give us some feedback. That way we can improve the show and all the information that we put out on a weekly basis. Just go to barbellstrug.com/learn. Check those boxes and hit submit. We would really, really appreciate you doing that.
For Sheezy.
Yeah.
Peace out.